Well, we're about to read the Epistle of Jude. Jude was Jesus' brother. Jesus had a few brothers and some sisters as well. We've talked previously when we were going through the Gospels about the brothers and sisters of Jesus. There are some different perspectives on that. Some people don't think Jesus had brothers, particularly Catholics. Orthodox believers think Jesus had brothers and sisters, but it was from a different mum. And I explained at the time why I think Jesus did have brothers, and certainly all the Protestants in the world and all the Orthodox do believe Jesus had brothers and sisters. Well, this is Jude. It says here he was the brother of James, who wrote a letter earlier in the Bible, and that James was the brother of Jesus. So he's also a brother of Jesus. And he has interesting things to say. Let's read. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I was constrained to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which once for all delivered to the saints. For there are certain men who crept in secretly, even those who were long ago written about for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into indecency and denying our only Master God and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you already know this, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who didn't believe. Angels who didn't keep their first domain, but deserted their own dwelling place, he has kept in everlasting bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, having in the same way as these given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are shown as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these also in their dreaming defile the flesh, despise authority, and slander celestial beings. But Angel, the archangel, when contending with the devil and arguing about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him an abusive condemnation, but said, "May the Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever things they don't know. They are destroyed in these things that they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason. Woe to them, for they went in the way of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden rocky reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you, shepherds who without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Wild waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever. About these, also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their lusts, and their mouth speaks proud things, showing respect of persons to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which have been spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be mockers, walking after their own ungodly lusts. These are those who cause divisions and are sensual, not having the Spirit.' But you, beloved, keep building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, and some save, snatching them out of the fire with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep them from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory in great joy, To God, our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Okay, Jude writes a stern letter, and he's warning about these evil characters that have, the way he puts it, have crept in secretly. In the NIV, it said that these men have slipped in among you. So there were people in this early church who looked like they were normal Christians, at least at first, but they were not. It says that they, they did a whole heap of serious things, of things that were serious, and he goes on to call them clouds without water. Unless you think you're going to have rain, but you don't get rain. He called them autumn trees without fruit. You know, fruit trees that should be fruitful at the right time, but they're not. And he said that they were, he compared them to like Sodom and Gomorrah, saying they deserve to be punished like this. He had a whole heap of serious things. And he said they're hidden rocky reefs and shepherds that only feed themselves. So you're sailing along in a ship. It all looks like the plain old ocean, but you don't realize that just under the surface is a hidden rocky reef. And, you know, these people will cause you to be shipwrecked. They are shepherds who feed themselves. Now, they're supposed to be taking care of the sheep, but they're using the sheep for themselves. In other words, they're wrongly motivated. They're going to destroy the faith of those around them. They're only about taking, not about giving. And not only that, they have nothing to give. They're clouds without rain, and they're trees without fruit. And it says the Lord's going to judge these people. They walk after their own lusts. So it's a warning letter about people who've snuck in the church that are wrongly motivated. It's all about them. Okay. Well, it sounds serious, and it was. Now, there's quite a lot of letters or quite a lot of parts of the New Testament that warn the early church about the Judaizers, like Galatians, or even 1, 2, and 3 John. But this isn't it. This is a different thing. And the Judaizers, they persecuted the early Christians, but they were very focused on morals. You know, they avoided sexual immorality, but what Jude's warning these people about is Jude was warning these Christians about indecency. He says here in verse 4 that these ungodly men had snuck in secretly, and he says, turning the grace of our God into indecency. So it wasn't only that they denied Jesus like the Judaizers did. These people were actually doing indecent things. They were turning the grace of God into a license for sin. And if you think about it, these are the two big common mistakes that are made. When we become a Christian, there's two big temptations. One is to be tempted and think we've got to be oh so holy, and we've got to make sure we do everything so properly to be righteous that we go into legalism. Well, that's what the Judaizers were like. It was all about the law. But the other big temptation is to go so much into grace that no matter what you do, it's forgiven. You can live however you like. You'll be saved. If you've gotten saved, you'll always be saved. Nothing can go wrong now. Live however you please. And that turns the grace of God into a license or permission to do whatever you please. And that's the other way. These are the two big dangers. Going too much into law, in which there's no grace, or going too much into grace, where you live however you please. And other parts of the Bible are focused on the Judaizers, like the letter of 1 John, but this letter is focusing on the hyper-grace people, the ones that have gone so much into grace that their behavior was sin. And there were leaders that had snuck in that were like this. They were like hyper-grace leaders. And he gives three examples right here. He says, they have followed the way of Cain. This is verse 11. They've fallen into the error of Balaam, and they have perished in Korah's rebellion. This is verse 11. Cain, Balaam, Korah. Now, we've gone through the whole Bible almost. We've only got one book to go after this. And we've learned about these three people. We've learned about Cain and Balaam and Korah. So here's a quick primer. Cain was someone who hated his brother, killed his brother, was jealous. He offered what he wanted to offer God. His offerings to God were not accepted by God because they were self-motivated. He was offering offerings to the Lord that were about him. And people do that. They give gifts to the Lord for various reasons, but it's really about them, not about God. God rejected Cain's offering but accepted Abel's. And then Cain kills his brother out of jealousy. He hated his brother. And the Lord said, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, I am not responsible for my brother. That is one of the examples right here. People who have take no responsibility for their brother, that's not a Christian position. Our Christian position is we love one another. We care for one another. Love one another as I have loved you, said the Lord. So Cain is someone who snuck in. People like Cain, it's not about their brothers, it's about them. But you notice that Cain made a sacrifice. So if you were just a bystander looking on, you would have noticed two brothers make sacrifices. They both would have looked holy, but only one was. And that's why Jude says here that these people snuck in secretly. So in this church, there were people that looked holy, but you had to look a little closer. And you recognize, no, that they look holy, but they're not. It's ungodly. The second person was Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. In fact, his prophecies are like some of the best in the Bible. But the Bible calls him a false prophet, not because his prophecies were wrong, but because his heart was wrong. So you'd look at someone like Balaam in your local church and say, oh, they're such a good minister of Christ because they say good things. But what Balaam did, he was trying to figure out a way to get money. It was all about money. And in the end, he couldn't speak a curse over Israel because God wouldn't let him, and he would only speak the truth. So in the end, he said to the enemies of Israel, I know how you can get them. Tempt them with sexual immorality, you'll get them that way. And if you go back and watch our Numbers videos, you'll hear me explain all of how that happened. So Balaam was motivated by money, and he led the Israelites into sexual immorality for money, even though he wouldn't say a wrong thing. And there were people in this church that wouldn't say a wrong thing. They would only say the right things, but they led people into immorality and they were greedy for money. And Jude says they'll be judged like Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a third person, was Korah. When we went through Leviticus and Numbers, we talked about Korah. Korah was a Levite, but he was like in the ministry. He was like a priest, but he wasn't the high priest. And what he really wanted was Aaron's job. And he actually said, has the Lord spoken through Moses? He was basically saying, look at me, I'm as good as Aaron, I deserve to have that priest job. So what he was wanting was ministry promotion. He wanted the better job. He wanted the title that went with it. He was wanting to get recognition for himself. It was all about him. So we've got these three people, Cain, and of course Korah was in the ministry, he was a priest. So, of course, he looked good because he was doing things for God. So we've got these three people, Cain, who looked like he was serving God, Balaam, who looked like he was serving God, and Korah, who looked like he was serving God. And that's why Jude says people like this have secretly snuck in. But they weren't serving God. They were serving themselves. Cain had no care for his brother. It was all about him. Balaam didn't care about the church or the Israelites. He actually tempted them away from God so that he could get money. And Korah was all about him getting recognized and promoted and given the best jobs. And Jude writes to this church, or this group of people, says, watch out for people like this. He says they've been condemned already, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says they are like this. He says, but you, remember the words spoken by the apostles, that in the last days, in the last times, there would be people like this. And of course, that, you know, this is 2,000 years ago. There were people like this 2,000 years ago, and at times there will still be people like this now. He says, but you, build yourselves up in your holy faith. Keep yourselves in God's love. Look for the mercy of Jesus to eternal life. In other words, don't be like those people. Have care for your brother. Don't be greedy for money. Don't try to promote yourself so that you get the recognition. If God wants to lift you up, let him do it. It's not your job to do it. And if you get stuck as the toilet cleaner at your church your entire life, that's okay. Let God reward you in heaven. In fact, sometimes what happens is that people are so wanting to get ahead and get recognized that the Lord can't promote them because that's what they want. But as soon as they let it go, say, okay, Lord, I'll just serve you even if I'm never recognized. Sometimes once they let it go, then the Lord says, ha, now they're ready, and promotes them. It's a funny thing. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. So, you beloved, build yourselves up in faith. And then he says, have compassion on people. Save them from the fire. Now, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would all fall. But this letter finishes with a great benediction, and we still say it in our church today, and lots of churches in the world say this. I'm going to say it again, and it's in light of the fact that without Jesus, you would fall into all these terrible sins, but you've got Jesus. And so Jude finishes his letter by saying, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before him in glory, with joy. The Lord can take a hold of you and keep you safe and fill you with joy. To him be glory, the God who does all of that. And give him, may to him be wisdom and glory and majesty and dominion and power, not just now, but forever. Amen. Lord, thank you for Jude. Thank you for his warning. I pray you'd help us to be wise, but also help us to build ourselves up in faith. Keep us in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.